This portion of the program is brought to you by Elena Schofield. Elena Schofield is the host of Voices of Reason in the Valley, a radio talk show with goals to engage the community, to inform, to connect, and to promote and build the community right here in the Antelope Valley. She will be speaking about interesting topics and interviewing important people living right here in the Antelope Valley. Today's interview is with Bishop Henry Hearns, former mayor of Palmdale and current pastor emeritus of the Living Stone Cathedral of Worship in Little Rock, California, where Pastor Rodney Rivers is the pastor. Welcome, Elena, to the second broadcast of Voices of Reason in the Valley.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to all of our listeners here in Antelope Valley. I am so elated today to have Bishop Henry Hearns as my interviewee today. I have heard of him, just spoke to him briefly, and now I get to interview him, and we are inviting you into this interview. Welcome, Bishop Henry Hearns.
Thank you so very much, Elena.
So, yeah, when I first moved to the Antelope Valley, Bishop, I had people coming to me and saying, do you know who Bishop Henry Hearns is? And I was like, no. And they were kind of shocked. Like, well, that's the go-to person. That's somebody you need to know and you need to meet. So my god sister, who is a bishop's wife, her husband is Bishop White, and they live in Lancaster. She was a former Hollywood stuntswoman, and she'll be interviewing with me next month. But she definitely gave me your name, and she said, oh, you have to get to know him if you're trying to do anything in the Antelope Valley. So I heard about you. Other pastors were telling me about you. So I was like, I have to connect to this gentleman here. I'm impressed. And the reason why I selected you for my interview in February is because it's Black History Month. And you've done some wonderful things. You have, I did the research, and it says that you had parents that were sharecroppers down in Mississippi. You were born in 1933. You were born in April, me too, April 15th. So you were born in April. And so you came up during times where it was hard for Black folks. And you came up during a time where, and we're celebrating Black history. So you came up during a time where Jim Crow laws were in full effect. A lot was going on in our country, in our nation. And so I'm like, wow. So here he had sharecroppers as parents, but he came, he migrated. First, you enlisted into the U.S. Army, but we'll get there. And then you got a degree from USC. I'm like, environmental engineering. I was like, wow. Then you were the chief of the environmental branch at Edwards Air Force Base before you retired. But while you were doing all of that, you became a pastor. So I'm like, wow, of a church. So Bishop, my question to you is, as a child growing up in Mississippi, how were things like for you during that time of your life?
Well, first of all, I really appreciate the opportunity to be interviewed by you. I am very honored to do that. And I don't think that I'm really doing you a favor. You're doing me a favor, as far as I'm concerned. Going back to 1933, when I was born, I was on three different plantations. The very first one where I was born was known as the Ingham McCrary's plantation in Bahia, Mississippi. My mother was the cook for the white people who owned the plantation. And it was a small plantation, about 100 acres or so, maybe 150 acres was the size of it. And of course, when I was born in 1933, didn't really know a lot about what was going on until I got about 5, 6, 7 years old. Then I really knew what was going on. So when I was born, April 23rd, 1933, the lady was a believer. Mrs. Ada D. McCrary was a believer. So she told my mama, you need to start eating different. You're getting awfully big. Long story made short, I got here weighing almost 14 pounds.
And wow.
And I was my mama's first baby. Now, we moved from that plantation in, I'm going to guess, 19, I was about seven, so about 1940, 41, and moved to the Macaulay Plantation. And this one was a little bit bigger, probably about 300 or 400 acres. And the white guy, my daddy drove for him. So he had my daddy put in World War II. And now I'm beginning to see things and hate white people because of what was going on. You go down the street there in Bahia, Mississippi, when you would hear, even as a kid, you learn how to know that the white people were in charge of that whole place. So if you hear somebody walking behind you, you get out of the street, stand off on the curb until they pass you. And then when they pass you, you could get back on the streets and keep on walking, but never look them in the eye and kind of fold your hand, take your hat off, all these things that the black people had to do because the Jim Crow laws were really in full force in Bahia, Mississippi. After he sent my daddy to World War II, he kicked us off. Now, my mama had now five kids just before my daddy went into World War II. And so the little one was like maybe a year or so old. Five of us, I'm the oldest, and I was about seven or eight. Mama took me to Mr. Rivers Burke. This is the third plantation. Now, this one had about, I would say, 1,500 to 2,000 acres of property with many, many black sharecroppers working on those different farms. But Mr. Rivers Burks was a very kind guy. He was a German guy, had a store, and was really nice to all of the black people there. But nevertheless, I'm still growing up with this ugly, ugly feeling toward white people because that is the way I was treated, and it was the way everything went down. But now, Mrs. McCrary put a little spark in my stuff because I said all whites were bad.
Yes.
But Mrs. McCrary was not. Dr. McCauley was. Now we're with Mr. Rivers Burks, and he was a really, really fine white guy with all of the property and treated all of the sharecroppers. And there were probably, I would say, 100 or so sharecroppers on that big plantation. And but he was good to us. In fact, he was so good to us. When I was 16 years old, when my daddy was in the Army, Mr. Rivers Burks told my mama, he said, I want you to take all the money that your husband sent you, put it in the bank. When he gets back, you buy your own farm. And we couldn't have a bank account. Blacks couldn't in Bahia, Mississippi. So Mr. Rivers took my mama and me to his bank and put the money in under him. And when daddy gets back to the from the military, and that was about 48 or thereabout, and close to 48, Mr. Rivers had my mama to save the money, bought a 60-acre farm not too far from the plantation that we were on, and Mr. Rivers made sure that everything went right, gave my daddy the mules that we used to do sharecropping. He gave them to my daddy on his own farm. And, you know, and I still, you know, I do an interview ever so often.
And, well, Bishop.
I'm still excited about it.
That's some good information. You know, a lot of times we have to really think that we can, you know, with race relations and how things have evolved in our country and how a lot of times we do have to take in consideration that there were a lot of white people that were kind to Black people. There were abolitionists that were against slavery. They worked with Harriet Tubman, with the Underground Railroad. So it's a lot of times we have to consider that Absolutely. All white people are not bad, all Black people are not good. So with that said, I assume that you joined the U.S. Army.
The military called me. In those days, you could join, but I did not. My daddy and mama did everything they could to keep me out. But they called me during the Korean War. And so, yes, I did. Go ahead.
So you were drafted as the first son of a family, like how they draft the first born son. Okay. So you were drafted into the Army. Okay. That's interesting. So how was your stay in the Army? I'm sure you had to deal with some racism there as well.
It was the best thing that could have ever happened to me, to be honest with you. Long story made short, when I was drafted into the Army, and after I got all of my Army uniforms and stuff, they shipped me to Fort Leonard Wood to give me the training to be able to go straight from Fort Leonard Wood to Korea through Japan. And so when I was in training, they give you 8 weeks of infantry training where you actually learn how to handle your weapon, bayonets, grenades, all that, bayonets and grenades.
That's
and
called so boot camp.
That's correct.
Okay.
So when you get through with that, then they give you your specialized training. And when they got to the second 8 weeks of training, they did not have a platoon sergeant. And the white guy who was a captain, Captain Green, called me out, and there were only two Blacks in my organization. The rest were white. So he called me out of formation, said, I want you to take these troops around the formation, bring them back and park them right here. And long story made short, I did that. And then he called the first sergeant. He said, bring me the Master Sergeant Stripes. And they put Master Sergeant Stripes on me as a private and told me he wanted me to train the rest of those soldiers for 8 more weeks.
Well, Bishop, you know, with Daniel, the life of Daniel, and we see that Daniel had an excellent spirit. And then I'm thinking about how God said he orders our steps and how the Bible says that your gift will make room for you and bring you before great men. And all I can see is that the excellence, the goodness of God in the plan of God moving in your life where it conquered racism, it conquered, you know, things that you probably should have gone through. When you said you enjoyed the U.S. Army and it was one of the best things that happened to you, how did you get to Antelope Valley?
When I got into the second week, I went AWOL from Fort Linwood. He said, we got 5 minutes. I went AWOL, came back, thought they were going to put me in prison. And this captain sit me down, talked to me like a father, and put me right back in that same position. Went overseas and went to Korea. And after that was over, went to Okinawa. And that's where I finished my high school, was in Okinawa.
Thank you for that, because you culminated that. I am so impressed by this interview. I mean, it's so wonderful just to know that the favor of God was upon your life.
He was on my life.
Yes. And that's all you can say is grace and mercy, and goodness and mercy followed you all the days of your life, Bishop. And yes, sir.
Can I tell you about my college right quick?
I want you. That's where we're going. That's where we're headed. Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, anyway, after I got out of the Army in 2 years, he says, after I got out of the Army in 2 years, I had taken a GED test, passed it, took the college entrance exam, passed it, And one day out on the football field, as I had a football scholarship, the vice president of Tennessee State, Dr. Boswell, came out and said, "You're eating dinner with me tonight." Went to his house to eat dinner that night. And I had signed up to study agriculture, but I had gone off the scale in physics and math and all that stuff. And Dr. Boswell said, "We're putting you in engineering." And I said, "No, sir, I cannot do that." He said, "Well, you got a choice. You either do that or go home." So I went into engineering, and Dr. Boswell tutored me through math and got me going. And I went through algebra and math and physics and like nobody's business.
And yes.
4 years later, I came out of school with 2 undergraduate engineering degrees. And then later on, went on to USC.
Awesome. So you were an athlete as well.
Yes.
Wow. I missed that part. Wow. So you just had gifts upon gifts. The Lord has endowed you. So you played college ball?
I did.
Wow.
I played college ball and
went
through engineering school at the same time.
Amazing. Amazing. I have a son that actually was a basketball player. And that's how he was able to get his education on a basketball scholarship. He didn't go pro, but we still believe in God to do something for him. He got a chance to go overseas, but never mind him. We're on you, Bishop. It's so amazing. But my son, he always said USC was his dream school.
Yeah.
And here I am talking to Bishop. I have a lot of friends that are Trojans, okay? They went to USC. And so I'm impressed, Bishop. Wow. So now, after your degrees, you earned your degrees, you still were in the Army, right?
No. I did the GED test overseas. Mm-hmm. Come back.
Okay. You're out of the service. You get a scholarship, athletic scholarship. You go to school. You get 2 degrees. And then how did you wind up from college and graduating college? How did you get to California?
I came to California looking for a job because they wouldn't hire a Black engineer back in the South. And
okay.
So I came to California, and that's where I ended up landing a job right here.
Yeah, a lot of Blacks, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Bishop, but a lot of Blacks came westward to the westward expansion, coming out here to seek for jobs. And a lot of Black people came out here and did relatively well. They did well. They bought homes and they did a lot of things. Now, you had benefits from the service, the Army, when you got out here to California. How did you get with Edwards Air Force Base?
Well,
first job?
I hate to break you guys. This is such a great interview, but our time is running out. You know, we only have so much time on radio to talk. And Bishop, you got a whole lot of life to talk about. So I guess we'll have to bring you back
and do a second part.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I would be honored to do it. Yes, do a second part.
But I do appreciate you, Elena, for bringing Voices of Reasons in the Valley to Gospel for the Glory of Jesus. And I want to thank you, Bishop Hearns, for being our guest today. Today's program, Voices of Reason in the Valley, was paid for by Elena Schofield. Topics and opinions discussed in the program do not reflect the opinions or views of the station, KREJ 100.9 FM, and are in no way connected to views and opinions of the management, employees, or radio host at KREJ 100.9 FM, or this radio ministry, Gospel for the Glory of Jesus, hosted by Melvin Slade. Feedback, comments, or concerns should be emailed to voicesofreasoninthevalley@gmail.com. That's voicesofreasoninthevalley@gmail.com.